Welcome back to The Brokest Guy in the Room. This is Chris Kushnir coming to you again from Bali, Indonesia. Today I had some hard decisions I had to consider anyway. As I'm here away from my loving wife, away from my comfortable home, away from my businesses, my daily responsibilities, my dogs, my family, my loves. Things are a little behind schedule here. And, you know, as I'm trying to pursue a dream here and trying to start a company here and get this first of hopefully many vacation villas built as a proof of concept for our management, if I leave when I'm supposed to leave, I'm going to leave unfinished business. And yet if I extend, I'm going to put excessive pressure on my wife, family, and businesses back home. And so here I am, you know, I'm supposed to take off in 2 weeks and I've got this massive consideration that I'm looking at. And it's a difficult thing to consider. But what's got my focus really is how much the things that I've desired has changed in, amidst this process. And how different I feel as a man and as a human being, as a husband, as a partner, as a financier, as a father, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as an artist, as a creator, as a yogi, as a teacher. And I think truly, I really owe yoga for the vast majority of this change. Yoga, the Yoga FX crew, and Bali had such an effect on me. See, I used to be so caught up in financial pursuits and the possession of physical things. And that pursuit was to keep them. And, you know, what happened to me is a cliche. It's what you hear all the time happens to so many people. The more that you aggressively pursue that money, the more that you aggressively pursue possessions and physical things, the emptier you become inside. And particularly as you acquire them, at least that's what it is for me. You know, the more focus I chase on money, the more shit that I acquired, the bigger my sack got, the more I felt I had to put in there and keep filling it and keep filling it. I mean, one of my first obsessions was watches. God, and it's funny because if you knew me years ago, I wouldn't dare put a piece of jewelry on my wrist. It felt to me like handcuffs, and that was something I swore would never touch my wrist. And so, hell nah, I didn't want to wear a bracelet. I didn't want to wear a watch. Until I got my first one, my first expensive timepiece, and then I became obsessed. I became obsessed with Cartier timepieces. I absolutely loved them. Jaeger LeCoultre, one of my favorite brands. But regardless, right now, you know, I probably got about 40 of the damn things just sitting in watch winder cases. And, you know, when I'm home, I'm so, you know, which watch am I going to wear today? And what's funny is I haven't put one on since I've been here. And it dawns on me now that as soon as I get back, honestly, I have every intention of liquidating said watch collection so that I can pour it into the investments and the things that I'm trying to create and do here. I don't miss what I don't have, and quite frankly, I could give a damn about them, and I feel a bit like a fool for having gone that route. However, the fact that I can liquidate them and convert them into an asset now that I can reuse is helpful. And so you live and you learn. But that's what's been, what's really been on my mind just tremendously at this point. You know, the pursuit of possessions. And really that was always driven for me by envy. You know, I'd be lying if I said it didn't start because I saw somebody else with some possessions and you know, it evoked some feelings of perhaps jealousy, envy. Matter of fact, the title, The Brokest Guy in the Room, and the story of The Brokest Guy in the Room really, pertains to the fact that as a kid, you know, I grew up without a lot of money, yet somehow I always found myself surrounded by rich people. Surrounded by people who seemed to have everything that I could want. And for years, you know, that fueled me with jealousy, that fueled me with rage. And I was really kind of an angry, bitter person for so long because, you know, I just thought I was never going to, first of all, I thought I didn't have these things because I wasn't good enough because I didn't deserve them. And I thought that I would never have them and that it was silly to even reach for them because why reach for something that you're never going to be able to acquire? Why reach for something that is just, you know, outside your grasp and is going to remain outside your grasp? What's the freaking point? And then one day you find yourself reaching for something that you never, matter of fact, then one day you find yourself grasping something that you never thought you would even dare to reach for. And more often than not, once you got your hands on it, it's not quite what you thought it was going to be. I used to describe myself like Pepe Le Pew. If you're familiar with the cartoon of Pepe Le Pew, if you're not, I'll describe real quickly. Pepe Le Pew was a Looney Tune character who was a skunk, and he was a French romantic, and he was constantly pursuing this cat that walked under a white paintbrush and just happened to get a white stripe down its back. And so Pepe Le Pew was constantly mistaking this cat for a skunk, and so he fell in love with her and was chasing, and then always at the end of the cartoon, the role would flip, and the cat would see something about Pepe Le Pew that would make it fall in love, and then the cat would start pursuing Pepe Le Pew, to which point Pepe Le Pew's reaction would be to run for his damn life. So that was kind of like me, you know. Every time I acquired something that I thought I wanted so bad, usually went in a stash in a pile somewhere, became something forgotten, something I no longer needed, wanted, cared about. And I was on to the next one, on to the next empty pursuit, because that's what I did. And I just couldn't seem to stop myself. Well, that gets old. And then one day something remarkable happened, and it actually was here. It was here in Bali. Now, I can't remember who the first person that said it to me was, but I know that I can tell you that happened about five times while I was here last January through last April. And what happened was somebody told me that I changed their life. And this was the result of simply telling my story and them seeing how a series of tragedies ultimately became the most beautiful thing that could have ever happened to me, and how I was able to persevere through that, through those experiences, and be transformed by them, and then convert them into a future plan that I would pursue, and suddenly go from broken to on the path to pursuing my wildest and deepest dreams, and then shortly thereafter, starting to realize those dreams into my own reality through daily manifestation, absolute belief, absolute dedication to the task, in unwavering focus and an unwillingness to turn around. And again, this was not something I wasn't trying to inspire someone. I wasn't trying to fix their problems. I wasn't trying to do any of that. But knowing that I did got me high in a way that no drug could ever do. I got inspired by inspiring other people. And quite frankly, I got a bit addicted. And that sudden shift made all of my focuses take a different direction. All of a sudden, the most important thing to me was pursuing my heart center, lifting other people up, finding ways to inspire people, to work with other people, to provide opportunities and to help individuals grow. I got this dream about not just doing these businesses here in Bali and making Bali a part of my life, but ultimately taking a portion of the proceeds over time and putting it towards a foundation so that one day I could start a small school or educational program that would provide English lessons to underprivileged youth. And that is absolutely my plan for the future here. So everything that I do ultimately is in an attempt to take me one step closer to that reality. And that's not going to change. Quite frankly, with each little success, the level of excitement for me and encouragement to know that I'm still making progress and that I'm making that dream more and more possible with every moment, you know, it's a feeling that's so incredible that I could have never possibly really known, you know. Had life not handed my ass to me in so many different ways, had I not acquired these random things that I desired so much to realize what possessing those things would feel like and how it wouldn't leave me feeling fulfilled and how every possession would simply lead for a desire for another possession. And it's like being on a hamster wheel. Remarkable to me, I was talking to my best friend George about this morning, actually, how different it is coming back from New York. And you know, you escape New York and, you know, when you go back, you don't even realize the pressure cooker you're on. But a hamster wheel is a perfect analogy. Or I think what I said to him is that landing back in New York is like being dropped in a fish tank. And all of the sudden, everything, the entire world that is outside of that tank disappears. And it becomes virtually impossible to connect with it, to remember what it feels like, and to be a part of it. And the moment I leave, I feel like the weight of the world is off my shoulders. And I'm able to put my focuses on places other than money. What I asked him was, on any given day, how long do you go without thinking about some bill you have to pay? And his answer was minutes. And I think mine is the same when I'm over there, which of course puts so much pressure on a human being that who wouldn't buckle? The remarkable thing is when I'm here, I have to remind myself to focus on those things when it's time to do so. But they are not the front and center of my mind. They are in the far back of my mind. It takes effort. What is in the front and center of my mind is finding something to celebrate on a daily basis, to get up, to write poetry, to create some inspirational videos, to record a podcast, to go practice or teach yoga, to exercise, to nourish my body, to nourish my mind, to be the best human being that I can possibly be. In my opinion, this is exactly what the focus of life should be. My life has become a daily celebration and a daily pursuit of happiness. And it's an incredible feeling. It's a feeling I just wish I could share with other people. And the whole point of this podcast, the whole reason that I'm even saying this is because people need to know it's real. And so many people in the West, particularly in New York, because I mean, I can speak to that because that's where I live, just have no idea. They don't even realize that they've lost touch with it because they have no idea what it even feels like anymore. Or perhaps they never did. Which once you experience the other side, you realize just how much of a goddamn travesty that is. Because life is not about paying fucking bills. It's not. I'm sorry. Life is not about just making a bunch of money so you can buy some stupid shit that will one day be someone else's fucking garbage to deal with. It's not. You know, the souls that are graced on this planet are like a long series of, or rather an endless series of dominoes, each one impacting the next one, impacting the next one, impacting the next one. So you owe it to yourself and everybody else to make the best fucking positive impact on this planet that you can. Fuck the bullshit. It's just so hard for us to learn that. First, you got to encounter it. You know, you got to know something's real before you dare to reach for it. And it's remarkable how you can learn these things from people in circumstances that just are so much you know, I'd use the air quotes here, so much worse than your own. It's funny, people who I never would have thought I would envy some people. You know, I used to place my sights of envy on people who had many, many, many possessions. And now so commonly the people who I find who I envy the most have the least possessions and the greatest quality of life. Because they have found something they do that they absolutely love that spreads more love to other people. And I find that to be remarkable. You know, it's like the grand epiphany that I never knew would happen and that I'm so grateful for and that I will never look back from again. Because now life for me is about a daily celebration. Work for me is about play. And my greatest ambition has become to grow up to be a child, to spend every day exploring wonder and inspiring dreams and ambitions and realizing them. And helping people to lift up and to believe that they can leave a positive mark on this world by helping other people. Not by stepping on them, not by hurting them, not by stealing from them. Not by robbing them in other ways or taking advantage of them. One of the ugly truths of the planet that I have learned is some of the people who have the most money have taken the most advantage of some of the best damn people around. And that makes me sick. I just got no patience, no time for it anymore. Those are the people that I could care less about leaving a positive mark on. Although they're probably the most important people to leave the positive mark on because you fixed a problem and you really fixed something. But of course, the true work starts for all of us internally with ourselves. We got so much healing to do on this planet. There's just so much anger and resentment and rage. Christ Almighty, just the other day, I found out that somebody I've known for years, somebody who used to patronize my store, didn't know him well, but he's been in Ithaca, New York forever, and through some random act of violence, this poor guy got shot in the face twice, murdered. I came out of yoga class and my best friend sends me a message and a picture. And I'm just in disbelief that somebody my age just met the end of his life simply for being in the wrong place at the wrong time and ultimately being exposed to a circumstance that he had nothing to do with. I find that truly remarkable and truly, truly tragic. It really just kind of blew my mind. It blew my mind that there are people on this planet who wake up in the morning and set out to go and commit a violent crime, to go and line their pockets by emptying someone else's. In this life or the next, for all of them, I am most certain, I've never been more certain that karma's real and it will take care of that. But that's no longer my problem. That's no longer my concern and that's no longer my focus. What is my concern, my focus, my daily practice is to do the exact opposite, to do whatever little thing I can on this planet to try and counteract, to provide some light to where there's been darkness. Because there really is just so much darkness, such an unbelievable amount of it that we pick up on. And that so many of us choose to just kind of walk away from, pay no mind to. Well, I can tell you this individual made a conscious choice to pay as much mind as possible and just spread as much light as possible, which is a big part of why I put my mind and body through such a massive challenge to complete yet my third 200-hour yoga teacher certification. Not for certifications or whatever, but just to elevate my personal practice so that my students can be elevated to that equal extent. And I can tell you, the more that I've changed the focus of my pursuits, the greater I feel as a human being, the more excited I am to get up every morning, the more excited I am to be surrounded by other human beings who I can help lift up. And by lifting them up, I lift myself up. with that, I'm gonna close out here on kind of what inspired this conversation to me. I had these words come to me just a little while ago, just after I finished my daily yoga practice. And this is called envy. I once envied a rich man for everything he had. I thought it gave him freedom, and that envy drove me mad. As I watched that rich man age, I saw his love slipping away and began to understand that there must be a better way. Still, it was hard not to focus on all that I did not possess. And with the weight of my ambitions growing heavy on my chest, I would make some bad decisions that were misguided at best. You see, it's hard to be objective when a man becomes obsessed. But the greatest of life's lessons will always be the hardest learned. The things we grow to love are the things we've truly earned. And so the chase continued until I caught that which I sought. But the more that I acquired, the more I felt distraught. Fulfilling my desires became like dancing with a fire, jumping out of a frying pan just to go swimming in a fryer. Until one loss turned to many, and the losses would inspire a sudden change of my direction to become the man I could admire. I had to change my own perception of the meaning of possession just to learn that my pursuits left me pursuing an obsession. Inspired to make a change, I learned to listen to my heart and found the ending of my story was really just the start. Until next time, my friends, with endless love and gratitude. Until next time, my friends, with endless love and gratitude, this is Chris Kushner, the brokest guy in the room, signing off from Bali, saying namaste.